Hello. You're Zuntite. So I'm Mike Duff. I'm contributing editor for the IHA-affiliated news site Homepage News, and I'm your Inspiration Theater host. Today, we have someone I've known for a very long time. As a business journalist, Warren Schulberg has been covering retails for many years, perhaps even more than me. In today's session, the Best of Stores 2024, what's coming next in 2025, Warren will provide insights on some of the most inspiring retail debuts of the past year and what made them special. He'll also preview new retail formats that we can look at for the upcoming year. So, Warren, you'd be so kind.
Hey. Thanks, Mike, and thanks, everybody. Thanks for showing up. It's lunchtime, so everybody wants to get something to eat. I'm sorry I'm not serving lunch, but plenty of places, plenty of booths that are. So, yes, Mike and I go way back. I think we went to kindergarten together, although I'm not so sure. Anyway, so I'm going to talk about the best new stores in America, and full disclosure, not all of them are new, but newish. So some stores that have shown up the last couple of years that I think are pretty good. And a lot of them are in home and housewares, a bunch of them are not, and I think what they're doing in the fields they're in are applicable to your businesses. Just so I know who we've got here, how many people on the retail side? Raise the hands, okay. How many on the vendor supply side? Okay. Pretty good. Okay, so that's the agenda, and you know, you're always supposed to start these things with an inspired quote, Winston Churchill, Abraham Lincoln. I always go with Yogi, you know, which is you can observe a lot by watching. So I'm a certified store junkie. I try to go to as many stores as I can, and anybody who doesn't go visit stores, I think, is just not paying attention. So may not be what Yogi had in mind, but that's what works for me. So, like I said, we're going to talk about the freshest home stores in the past year, some remarkable stores elsewhere, and some retail concepts that lend themselves to where things are going in the future. I'd love to be able to talk about stores that aren't open, but they're not open, so I don't know what's going to happen with them. But talk about some general concepts that I think are things that you should be looking at. So, a couple of values. I'm just going to focus on physical stores. I hate the term bricks and mortar. Physical stores are not made of bricks or mortar, so I call them physical stores. It's my crusade to change that term. In-store shopping is still 75% of all retail sales. Like I said, there is life beyond housewares. And you're going to be inspired by what you see, and inspired by is very different than copying, because after all, this is the Inspired Home Show. So going to start with the Wayfair store in Wilmette, Illinois. It's up the road from here, about 35, 40 minutes. If you have a chance to see it or you haven't seen it, I think it's the best new home store that's opened in the business in the last year. So why is that? My BFD, which I don't know what that stands for, but a big something deal. So, I'll leave it to you to figure that out. But I think they've done a terrific job of translating the Wayfair online shopping experience to in-store. Again, it's really well done. They have a clever racetrack layout. There's some irony that it's an old Carson Peary Scott branch store, and it really is fresh and exciting, and it's a great layout. What's really interesting is that their kitchen and bath fixtures are working, and as opposed to this presentation. Okay. All right, what did I do wrong? Did I disconnect something? Okay, apparently I'm reconnected. So if you want to try out a kitchen faucet or a bathtub, they're hooked up to water, and you can go take a bath in it. I think you may want to choose your attire, but I think that's really clever. We've gone into too many stores where nothing works, and that's a great way to do it. So. Again, if you go see it. And it's the first true IKEA physical in-store competitor. When you think about it, IKEA does a great job at Total Home, and this Wayfair store is the first store that really tries to do the same thing. I think that's terrific for Wayfair. The problem is that Wayfair has one store, and that's it. And they're talking about more, but that's it. If you use the IKEA model, IKEA has 50 stores in the U.S., so that's how many Wayfair needs to be competitive. But go see that store if you haven't seen it. Miniso is a store. It's a chain out of Asia. I used to pronounce it Minoso, but it's Miniso. And the Times Square store in New York, I think, is particularly interesting. It represents kind of a new wave that I call pop retailers. So if you've seen a pop shelf or a pop mart, and there's a pop mart here on Michigan Avenue, they are doing a different kind of fun retail. And, it's kind of dollar store meets convenience store. They have really low price stuff, a lot of stuff geared to younger generations. Definitely Gen Z and alphas. The Pop Mart here in on Michigan Avenue is what am I doing here? Okay, did I pop something? Okay, here we are, back in business. It's a whole store of mystery boxes. So you go in there and. You can see what the assortment are, but when you buy the little box, you don't really know what's in it. And they were selling like crazy yesterday. That was the most crowded store I saw on Michigan Avenue. So that format is really, the shoppers are really responding to it. Miniso, there I go, has a great balance of private label and brands. You know, they have Disney merchandise. They have Hello Kitty stuff. So it's not just low-end, non-branded stuff. Very clever and a very efficient floor plan. Tight aisles, stuff is packed in. The Times Square store, which maybe is 1,500 square feet, if they're lucky, has a lot of merchandise in it. So if you come across one of these, and I think Miniso, I think may have as many as 50 stores in the U.S. now, just walk into it if you haven't seen one. It's very clever, very well done, a lot to be learned there. Primark. So this Primark home store is in Belfast, Ireland, and it opens this month. So full disclosure, I have not been to it. If IHA wants to pay to send me to Ireland, I'll be glad to go. But here's what's interesting about Primark. And if you've seen their stores in the U.S., I don't know, they have about 25, 30 stores, mostly apparel, but they have a fair amount of home. Mostly soft homes and tabletop, not hardcore housewares. But this will be their first freestanding home store. And, Primark makes the rest of the fast fashion guys, whether it's Zara or H&M, just look like Saks Fifth Avenue in terms of their pricing. I don't know how Primark does it, but their pricing is really low. And again, they've got private label, they've got licensed brands like Disney. Primark has 28 stores in the U.S., and they're going to go up to 60 by the end of this year. And I think a lot of times we don't, people tend not to look at these fast fashion stores. H&M has Home and Zara has Home. And these guys are competitors, and you need to go see what they're doing, because it's a lot of interesting product, great presentation, and you can guarantee if Primark is opening the first Home store in Ireland, they're going to open Home stores here in the U.S., and they're going to be competitors. RH, which does not really in the housewares business, they've got some tabletop and some home decor. I gave a presentation once, and people said, "Who's RH?" And then I said, "Restoration Hardware," and we said, "Oh yeah, those guys." So they really have used that RH name for a long time. This is the newest store in Orange County, in the Fashion Island Mall, and it's 97,000 square feet. It's their largest gallery in the chain. They've got a restaurant. They've got multiple wine bars. And they also have the first, they own Waterworks, the plumbing supply company and the fixtures company. And it's the first time they put a Waterworks showroom into an RH. Again, RH may not be selling a lot of the products that you sell or you make, but their presentation is terrific. They've got a real place in that upper end of the marketplace. Who's to say that they won't expand more into some of the housewares categories? So if you're out and see one of the new format RH stores, there's probably two dozen of them in the U.S. now. There's one here in Chicago. Great presentation. They use great historic buildings for the most part. This one is brand new, but it says a lot for that luxury retailer. And if you sell in the better goods area, this is where your customer is going for furniture, and they're going to expect the same kind of shopping experience when they're shopping for your kind of product. So I think you need to see what RH is doing. RW Guild is a store, a single store down in Lower Manhattan, it's off of Canal Street, and it's really started by two architects who did a lot of hotels and movie sets, and this is their first store. And again, it's really well done. They have a very distinctive merchandising point of view. Again, not hardcore housewares, but a lot of tabletop, a lot of home accessories, and furniture, and just a great aesthetic. And almost all of their product is exclusive, not necessarily stuff they develop, but stuff that they found around the world. A lot of product from Japan and Korea, and very, very well done. And yeah, they've got a restaurant too. And if you're starting to sense a theme, a lot of these best stores in America have got restaurants or got food services. Going back to RH's store down the Meatpacking District in Manhattan, 25% of its revenue is from its restaurant. So that's a lot. And so if you've got some kind of way to incorporate food, or even if it's coffee or wine, in your store, there's a lot to be said for that, because I think the best stores in America are doing that, and RW's one of them. Stands for Roman and Williams. Crate and Barrel, this store has been open a little over a year. It's across the street from the from ABC Home. In fact, it's in a building that was part of ABC once. It's If Wayfair is the best store of this past year, Crate & Barrel, New York was the best store from a year ago. Why? They've got just a great cohesive integration of home categories. So, unlike department stores that by definition show their product by department, they integrate the furniture and the tabletop and the home decor. They've got a fresh flower shop, which is crazy. And I thought it wouldn't last, but I just was there 2 weeks ago and it's there and it's doing great. It's a historic space. It's two floors. They've opened up the floor plan so that it's a creative use of that lower level egress. And that's tricky for a lot of larger stores to pull that off. And they did it. Crate just opened a new store here in Chicago. Have not seen it, but hearing good things and based on what they've done in the New York store, I think Crate is the best retailer in this lifestyle category right now. If you consider their direct competitors, Pottery Barn and Williams Sonoma, I think Crate's doing the best job. So, if you see one of these new format Crate stores, I think it's worth looking at. Candleporium is in Atlanta, and this is a small chain out of Georgia, and it's kind of a fascinating concept. They mix two concepts in one retail store. So they have a traditional candle assortment. That's some national brands like Brooklyn Candle and Boy Smells, which is the oddest name for a company I've ever heard. But they also have a candle making bar with 75 individual scents, and you can go there, pick out the scent, pick out the vessel you want, and make your own candle. You know, it's kind of Build-A-Bear meets the candle business. And they've got a couple of stores in Georgia. I think the concept, if it's working, which it seems to be, they're going to open more stores. So if you sell candles, and God, everybody sells candles, I'm not sure who's buying them all since nobody actually ever burns a candle at home. But if you sell candles or make candles, it's an interesting concept to go see. IKEA, we talked about them a little bit before, and we still talk about those giant 500,000 square foot stores out on the highway, but they're opening a new format that they call Planet Order stores, and they're much smaller, 5,000 to 8,000 square feet, and it's all about designing your kitchen, your bedroom, and other home products, projects. They're in strip centers and they're in downtown areas. And again, much smaller footprint. So IKEA is able to get much closer to where the customer is, and it's not a day trip that you have to go to. They don't sell any merchandise you can take with you, but you plan out your new kitchen or bedroom, and you can arrange for delivery, or if it's small enough, you can pick it up yourself at a later date. And I think this is where IKEA's growth is going to come from. And again, IKEA is one of those retailers that I think a lot of people in the business don't pay attention to enough. They're the second largest broader home furnishings retailer in the country after Ashley. But IKEA is a big player in housewares. So this is the new vehicle to try to get to the customer, and kind of fascinating. And IKEA, which was asleep for a long time, is really trying a lot of different things. So kind of fascinating. I think there's 8 of these stores in the U.S., and if you come across one, just go see it. Dyson store, and I picked the one in Manhattan. It's on Fifth Avenue, very high rent area, and You know, this is a branding showcase. I'm pretty sure that they don't sell enough Dyson products to pay the rent. But it's a great showcase for that brand. And again, if you've got a brand like that, and I don't know how many brands there are like Dyson, but it's a wonderful way to showcase your product. First of all the Dyson products are together in one place, unlike where they're sold elsewhere, where the vacuum cleaners are over there and the hair dryer is someplace else. So you can get the whole Dyson experience. They have in-store demonstrations, a lot of video, a lot of hands-on stuff, and not a lot of brands can afford this kind of a showcase, but it's a great way to be in front of it. And there's a Dyson store here in Chicago. They've got a few of them. And again, you may not be able to do this with your store or your brand, but what they're doing in their store in terms of demonstrations and displays is state of the art and worth seeing. About two blocks away is the new Nike store there in Manhattan. There is a Nike swoosh there, I promise, in the on the side of the building there. This is kind of a fascinating thing. If you went to Nike's old store on 57th Street, it was a retail store. This one's very different. Also, branding as retail. It's big. It's six stories, 68,000 square feet, and a high-profile location, Fifth Avenue, 53rd Street, I think. They have a build-your-own sneaker area, so you can go in, pick out the silhouette you want, pick out the materials, pick out the embroidery you want on it, 45 minutes later, you've got your own personalized sneaker. And this is something that Levi is doing, but this Nike really executes it well. And I'm assuming there are other Nike stores like this. I'm not seeing them, but they've got a live DJ. And again, it's a different way to present the product rather than just a wall of footwear. So it's well done. Not so much in home, but Buc-ee's. And I don't know, how many people have been to a Buc-ee's? Okay, so if you haven't been to a Buc-ee's, and they're started in Texas and they're mostly in the Southeast, they're a crazy format. You know, it's a gas station truck stop, but it's like Disney meets a truck stop. So the retail store, 55,000 square feet, their latest one is 75,000 square feet. These are not little 7-Elevens attached to a couple of gas pumps. Their latest stores have 100 plus gas pumps. And this is a destination unto itself. And people aren't, they're pulling in, they're not just getting gas. They're spending a couple of hours there in the store, and they're going to the restaurant, they're going to the snack bar. They're getting their picture taken with Buc-ee the Beaver. And I understand the guy who started it, that's his nickname, Buc-ee. I'm not sure that's the nickname I would have chosen for myself, but that's what he did. And it's a great, the store, which has, doesn't have small appliances, but it's got cookware, and it's got tabletop, and it's got kitchen textiles, and it's got a whole lot of stuff. It's got sheets and towels, more t-shirts than you know what to do with. So Buc-ee's, I don't know, maybe 20 stores now, but they're going to have more. As I said, they're mostly in the Southeast, but they're edging out of there. I think they've got one coming in the upper Midwest this year. So if you run across a Buc-ee's, go see it, even if you don't need gas. It's worth the stop. Bal Harbour Access. This is an amazing concept. So Bal Harbour is a real upscale mall in the Miami area, real luxury. It's outdoor, you know, it's not an enclosed mall. This is where all the premium luxury brands in Southern Florida show. But And they're pretty maxed out on their universe. So what they decided was to take Bal Harbour on the road. And if you notice, those are shipping containers. And what they've done is the mail comes to you, not the other way around. So this is the ultimate pop-up. They use these shipping containers. And it's high-end stuff, you know. It's not selling T-shirts and keychains. It's Tiffany. It's Lanvin. It's a lot of premium brands, and they're taking it to parts of the country that may not have access to those brands and may not be able to support those brands on a full year basis. But for a pop up for a couple of weeks or a month, absolutely. This is a very clever idea, and probably not applicable to a lot of businesses, but this pop-up format is intriguing and is a way to put your brand places where, again, where it may not be able to be supported on a full year basis, but as a short-term thing, it makes a lot of sense. So I'm sure they can tell you where the Bal Harbour Access is coming next. The last one, I think, was in Raleigh. I don't think it's still there. They move around, probably just in the Southeast, but fascinating concept, and takes the pop-up to a new level. Irwan Market, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Is anybody from L.A. knows how to actually pronounce that? But it's a supermarket, but it's called America's most expensive grocery store, and they are proud of it. They don't try to make any excuses. You know, it's Whole Foods on steroids. They have premium products. They have celebrity branded stuff, as if the world needed more Kim Kardashian products. But she's got a line of groceries in there. Which is a fascinating, because I don't think this woman has eaten in the last 18 months, but they're big on social media. They're going to high profile areas. You know, this is not where you're doing your weekly shopping, but again, as a concept to take to that premium customer, I think they do a nice job on that. And, that's a sector, particularly within the housewares business, that's not really being serviced so much. You know, Williams-Sonoma is in there, but not necessarily at this level. So these guys are just in Southern California, but who's to say they won't go elsewhere? Fanatics Collectibles is in London. I promise they're in London. There we go. Okay, so Fanatics, in case you are not a sports fan, owns Topps trading cards. They do a lot of sports apparel, a lot of sports licensing, and normally their products are in Target and Dick's. But what they did was they set up kind of this first of its kind store for sports and entertainment cards and collectibles. And interesting concept. They've got apparel, but they've got memorabilia. So the rare collectibles, you know, the Babe Ruth trading card, the signed Pete Rose uniform T-shirt. These are the kind of things that they're selling. Things that you wouldn't normally see in a physical retail store. So they've taken their concept and, unlike other businesses that are taking their physical stores and putting them online, they're taking their online and putting it in a physical store. So kind of a reverse way to do it, but fascinating. They have video rooms where they broadcast fans unpacking their card packs. You know, when I was a kid and had baseball cards, nobody watched when I opened the package, but apparently this is a big deal now. So they're big presentations, and they do events there. And I would think that if this store works in London, again, they'll bring it to the U.S. too. Just a different way to do retail. Rowan is a small chain, starts in North Carolina, and what they are, it's for ear piercing, but, and I don't know if anybody's been to one of them, but all of their piercers are licensed nurses. So this is a far cry from the mall where, you know, the kid out of high school was jamming something in your ear. And this kind of takes it to a different level. All of the stores, the jewelry they sell is hyperallergenic, or they say it is anyway. You know, does this lend itself to housewares where if there's a cooking demo, this is somebody who looks like they're actually a cook and not somebody from the store? I don't know. This is intriguing that if you're a parent and your teenage girl or boy is getting your ears pierced, I think you'd want to have it done in a place like this, as opposed to Ears R Us at the mall. So I like this. Amazon just opened a store called a Para Pharmacy. It's in Milan. I don't exactly know why. And Amazon has a weird track record with physical stores. If you remember Amazon five-star stores and bookstores and some of the other things they've done, they have not been particularly successful, but they keep trying things. And so this is the first Amazon store in Italy. It's in a high-profile center city location. It's not necessarily for tourists, it's for the locals. So it's got upscale beauty, wellness, non-prescription, over-the-counter medications. It's not a pharmacy per se. So that's why they're calling it a power pharmacy. It has what they call dermabars for digital skin analysis. Now, I didn't know people had digital skin, but I guess that's the latest thing. They're trying this different concept to come into that health and wellness space. And again, Amazon could run this for 3 months and close it down, or they could say this idea works and we're going to expand it. So Amazon's not afraid to take chances and to try different concepts. So even if everything doesn't work, I think it's always fascinating to look at what Amazon is doing in physical stores and just see if there's anything that's applicable to your business. Again, if IHA wants to send me to Milan, I'd be glad to check this out. Not necessarily a store. This is Netflix Bites, which can be taken a couple of different ways, I suppose. It's in Las Vegas, and it's a restaurant. It's billed as from your screen to your table. So dishes are inspired by Netflix shows like Bridgerton, Stranger Things, and Squid Game. Not sure I want food that's inspired by Squid Game, but they are trying to embrace their audience, and so the decor is themed to their network shows too. And again, it just shows that people that you might not have thought were in the retail business are trying it. So Netflix, kind of interesting, and they're not done. I think later this year, maybe 26, they are opening two Netflix house stores. These are 100,000 square foot store, immersive stores, whatever that means, in Dallas and King of Prussia, Pennsylvania. They're going to be experiential, I would assume that you're going to be able to play the Squid Game or see a Bridgerton decor room and somehow engage with it. Kind of interesting, but again, another brand that is trying to expand and extend itself into retail. So Netflix Bites may not be what you want for lunch, but they are something. They're creative people. Got a lot of money, so they'll do stuff. Skechers opened what it calls its first performance store. It's in the West Edmonton Mall in Canada. It's another immersive retail location. So they've got the playing courts for pickleball and basketball, dedicated areas for specific product assortments. And again, this is something that Dick's has been playing with. I think Skechers takes it to the next level. Again, as ways that stores are trying to say, come into our store, this is better and different than just buying our products online. It's an interesting approach. Again, if Skechers makes this work, I mean, Skechers has other stores, but this is the first time they've tried this one with these sports courts and, again, dedicated areas for products. There'll be more, but this concept of engaging the customer in the store and as a way to get them get off their screens and come into the store, this is what smart retailers are trying. Laline is in Toronto. They're a Canadian beauty and personal care chain, big on sustainability and vegan. They spend a lot of time and effort on their displays. And, you know, there's other guys doing this, Bath and Body Works, somebody in the soap space that's doing this. But I think the pictures I've seen of the Lean, and again, have not seen this in person, it's much more detailed. They've got a lot of prepackaged gifts, and I think that's an idea that makes a lot of sense for stores that are trying to appeal to this customer, not just around the holidays, but all year round. Again, their big deal is the way that they do their product presentation. House of Hype, you know, I think finally here's a retailer admitting that it's all about the hype. So this is in Dubai. They've got two stores in the Middle East. They have 50 what they call immersive, beautiful worlds, cool games, colorful characters, awesome prizes, and exclusive shopping. I don't know what that means, but it's an interesting concept. And I just put it up here as another retailer trying to have an experience for people that come into the store. And, you know, this store, it's an experience, but they're selling stuff, and they're using it as a way to get shoppers to come into the store. And again, I just love that they're not even being bashful. Yeah, it's a big hype. And we're going to charge you $50 to $70 to be part of this hype. So imagine if you had a store and you charged a customer to come in. There's a concept, huh? I guess Costco does that. They're pretty good at it. The last retailer, I can't figure out. It's called Mysterious Vintage. So remember this picture. It's vintage meets escape room meets game show. So you come in there and you buy one of these numbered lockers or numbered placards, and that entitles you to use clues to buy an assortment of products, non-returnable products, I might add, and you get this box or bag of stuff, and it's vintage. It's a great way to get rid of markdowns, I don't know what to make of it, you know? I live in Atlanta. I have not seen this store yet. It's, I'm going to go visit it next week because I just need to see it in person. But in all the research I did for this presentation, it's the oddest retail concept that I've come up with, so at least so far. But, you know, making shopping a game, even more than a game than it normally is, I think there's something to be said for that. So I'm going to look at a couple of concepts to watch, things that are going to be happening, that are starting to happen, that I think say a lot about the future. If you look at Barnes and Noble's localizations, you know, this was a chain that was given up for dead. Amazon had stabbed it and it was in the death throes. It got new owners, it got a new CEO who had done this in England, and he said, we're not gonna have this one size fits all format anymore. So the local store managers decide what books to put up front. And those books, you know, could appeal more to the local demographics of where that store is. They've stopped taking the spiffs from the publishers that say, well, you gotta, if you want this book, you gotta carry those books. And they've been really successful doing this. Barnes & Noble is opening 50 new stores, which is remarkable. But again, this whole concept of localization, you're going to see more of this. People are going to follow what Barnes & Noble is doing. H-Mart, grocery chain, brilliant at ethnic retailing. And again, they're appealing to an Asian customer with big assortments of Asian food products. But I think as a way to appeal to your customer base, looking at if you're in an area that has a distinctive ethnic profile, makes sense to have the products that they want. And H-Mart is no longer just in Asian neighborhoods. They've done a great job expanding that concept. So you'll see more of that. Started out as a furniture company making dreadful looking furniture. Hope nobody's here from Ashley. And they've really developed the concept and they now do a lot of in-store events. And to me, in-store events are a great way to drive traffic. And Ashley's figured this out. A lot of presentations, a lot of videos, a lot of other things. Ashley's really good at it. So talk about a brand that has evolved with the times. Gucci, and I wish I had some pictures of them, they've done a wonderful job with their window displays in their stores, you know. A lot of high-end stores have very subdued and sometimes obtuse window displays. Gucci does a great job of it. Go walk by a Gucci. I talked about IKEA before. IKEA bought TaskRabbit, which is an assembly company, which if you ever tried to assemble IKEA products, you know that having somebody else do it is really good. So it used to be a freestanding business, and they've now integrated it into the purchasing process. So you go to the checkout counter and you're buying that wall unit, you can purchase the TaskRabbit assembly right there with the product. And so if you sell something that lends itself to that kind of, you know, to home assembly, there's something to be said for offering that right at the point of sale. Amazon Go technology, again, we talked about Amazon's dismal record in retail stores, but this Amazon Go technology, I think, is going to be the vehicle that they're going to use to get their foot into other stores. So this is the thing where you show your Amazon membership on your phone, and you just you make your purchases and you just walk out, and it's billed to you. That technology is going to get more widespread, and it's not going to be in Amazon stores. It's going to be in a lot of other stores. So that technology is is absolutely something that's going to be much more widespread. Gap opened a Times Square flagship. I was all excited when I read about it. It's in the middle of Times Square. It's where that big Toys R Us store used to be, if you know Times Square. And I thought it would be a fabulous store. The store sucks. I mean, it's a regular Gap store, but it's in such a high profile location that, you know, billions of people walk by it every day. And so, again, that store as flagship, as a showcase is a great concept. And, we talked about some other retailers that are doing this. I think you'll see more of this from the national chains. We talked about Crate & Barrel. Crate & Barrel had a great store here on Michigan Avenue, and they gave it up, and it's the world's largest Starbucks now. And I thought Crate made a big mistake. That what a showcase for Crate & Barrel. And where their store is now, it's not getting that kind of retail traffic. So this Gap is interesting. If you're in Times Square in New York, look at it and don't bother going in. It's not worth it. But as a billboard, it's terrific. Aldi, supermarket chain. You know, Aldi is now the third largest grocer in the country by number of stores. They have 2,500 stores in the U.S. They're going to open 220 more stores. Aldi sells housewares and home products. It's a small part of their business, and they work on very tight margins. And I know vendors that have worked with them said that it's very tight margins, but you need to see what Aldi's doing. Because they are moving a lot of product. If they're going to have 3,000 stores, that's a lot of stuff they're going to sell. And then finally, Home Goods. You know, Home Goods is now the big bad threat to everybody in the home business. Just a couple of years ago, they had 500 stores. Now they have 1,000. And they said they were going to have 1,500 stores within 5 more years. Well, last week, the company that owns them, TJX, said we're upping that to 1,800 stores. So, you know, that's far more than Bed Bath & Beyond had at their peak. That's far more than Target and Kohl's and Penny's. It's not quite as many as Walmart, but Home Goods is... dominant as they're getting in the home business, they're going to be even more dominant. And so Home Goods makes just somebody that keep an eye on what they're doing. And they're a damn good retailer. Their stores are terrific. You know, it's not those schlock places that they used to be. They're really well. So, you know, no presentation is complete without talking about AI. And I don't want to leave it out, so AI is going to be very important. And that's my opinion of it. And, you know, if I knew a lot more about AI, I wouldn't be speaking here at the Houseware Show. I'd be at the Davos Financial Conference, you know, making $100,000 for my speech. So, you know, AI was like the early days of the internet. Everybody knew it was going to be important, but nobody could figure out exactly how it was going to play out. Now we know, and AI we know too, but still too early to know how it's going to impact your businesses. So it's a road you got to take, and who better than Yogi? So you know, if you don't know where you're going, you might wind up someplace else. And that Yogi, he had a way with words. So that's kind of my outlook on the retail business. Here's how you find me. My blog is warrensreport.com. That's how I feel some days. And that's my email. If you'd like to follow what I'm writing, it's there. And if you have other conversations, feel free to email me. I'm glued to my phone, so I will be glad to answer you. Thank you. We're almost out of time. I don't know if anybody questions, comments, rebuttals.
Yeah.
Thank you, Warren. We appreciate it. Does anyone have any questions?
Yes.
Well, good. Good.
It was funny. I wanted to say people underestimate Aldi and Lidl.
Yeah.
Myself and a colleague of ours, we have them nearby. And we used to call the aisle with the home goods the danger zone.
Yeah.
I now own a chainsaw. I grew up in New York City. Anybody who has a chainsaw in New York City, you got to call the cops. But I actually bought it to do one thing for my girlfriend at the time.
Yeah.
And it was like $35 and it worked great. So don't underestimate Aldi and Lidl. They actually do produce really good home goods.
They do.
I wanted to ask you a question, though, because it's a word question. So you got to ask. What do you think of the word immersive? Does it have meaning? And what exactly, how much of an advantage is it? In other words, is there a parameter to this? Because we used to hear retailtainment, and that word tanked. How do you feel about that term, immersive?
So I think immersive is the best word in retail since lifestyle, which basically means 100 different things to 105 different people. The concept of engaging the shopper in a process in the store has merit, but the way a lot of people are doing it, it's crap. It doesn't, it doesn't work. It's like when VCRs first came into retail, and every store in America had to have a little TV on the shelf playing a demo video. Well, it sounded right, but nobody in the store ever turned it on. And when they did turn it on and it played out, it stopped. And, you'd go into the screens, into the stores, and the screens were blank. It's the stores, the Bloomingdale's store in Manhattan, they redid the housewares floor, and they put in this expensive kitchen demonstration area. It's gorgeous. You'd want this in your home. I've never seen a demonstration in this store. So, conceptually, it makes sense. Execution leaves a lot to be desired. So immersive is a word in search of a function.
Any other questions?
Please.
Where's the crate?
The crate in Chicago, in fact, somebody just emailed me that, on the corner of North and Clybourne, if you know Chicago, about 50... according to my friends at Google Maps and Uber... Uber car service, it's about a 12-minute ride from Michigan Avenue. So, and it just kind of opened sort of under the radar. So, and again, I haven't seen it, but based on the one in New York, it's probably pretty good. So, any other questions? Thank you all for being here.
Thank you, Warren. Thanks, appreciate Mike. It.